The following message is brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Amen. Oh, we can do a little better than that. Amen. 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 I feel like shouting. Oh, if I could tell you. Oh, if I could just tell you how God just worked some stuff out for me. Oh, if I could just tell you, just to encourage you, how God will work it out. I mean, God will work this thing out. Amen. And I said, God, I thank you today. And I think if he permits me, I'm going to release it. But I got to get permission from the throne room of heaven. But he worked it out. He worked it out. I knew it was God. He worked it out. All week long, he was just reminding me, I got this. I got this. And someone asked me last Sunday, said, did you get a word from God? I said, he hadn't showed up yet. Monday came and Tuesday came. And then Wednesday, early Wednesday morning, he touched me. Just talked a little bit to me, you know. And I said, God, what is it? He said, just turn to Matthew 25, 1 through 13. We're going to read it together. And I'm going to tell you about how the Lord did a work. Zion is calling us to a higher place. Zion. I was in the bathroom and I heard it. I said, this is none other than the voice of God. He said, tell them that Zion is calling us to a higher place. I mean, the place we are at, he said, I don't know what you're thinking, but my word is come up higher. Come on up. You got to come a little higher. Zion. I wish I could say I'm calling you, but I'm not. Zion is calling us to a higher place. And I feel the presence of God. Hallelujah. Zion is calling us. Okay, so we're going to read. I'm going to have to take my time, but I'm going to try to be brief. And every time I say it, I can hear my niece in the background saying, yes, 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 yes. Right, right, right. But I'm just going to let the Lord have his way because I got to get this out today. Amen. And I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation, Matthew 25, verse 1 through 13. And these are the words. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The five who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their lamps. But the other five were wise enough to take along extra oil. And when the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. Oh, but at midnight, they aroused by a shout. Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him. Not all the bridesmaids got up and prepare their lamps. And this is verse 8. Then the five foolish ones asked the others, please give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out. But the others replied, we don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop, buy some for yourself. But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. And later, when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. But he called back, believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour of my return. The word from the Lord today is your lamp out? Is it out? Is it out? Zion is calling us to a higher place. And the question is, do you have enough oil in your lamp? I was Tuesday night, he gave me the scripture and just dropped it. You know how you just drop something on someone and they just say, okay, I'll meditate over it like I'm marinating a piece of steak. But early Wednesday morning, while I was sitting at my desk. He said, is your lamp out? And I remember Jesus standing at Lazarus' tomb, and he was praying this prayer, and he said, Lord, I know that you always hear me when I pray. But so that those who are around, those who will hear the word will know that you have sent me, speak a word. And I'm telling you, he said, is your lamp out? And I said, oh, that's good. And immediately, 15 minutes later, the entire place at work, the lights all went out. Complete darkness. And I'm sitting in my office, and I said, God, you know, I said, I know there is a God. And so I'm sitting in my office. The lights are out. My office doesn't have any light. But I went out into the other area, and there was an emergency light on. So I sat at someone else's desk and waited. And I said, well, I'm okay. Because I could have praised him right there. I was all alone, Jesus and I. But then the police officer came and he said, is all well? I said, oh, all is well. I said, I'm just waiting on my instruction. Shall I leave or shall I stay? And he said, we don't have clearance yet. And I said, have no fear about me. I said, I'm going to stay here until you get a clearance. And then I'll move forward. And he said, are you okay? I said, yeah. I said, I'm locked in. So no one else can come in unless they have a key. So I'll sit here until you have an answer. And 45 minutes later, he came and said, okay, we can go home, because they couldn't fix the light. And it took Duke Energy had to come out. And something blew and it knocked all the power out. But in the midst of it all, he said, ask them if the light go out. Do they have any emergency? Is there some extra in your package, in your storehouse? Because I'm telling you, the light is going to go out. Darkness is going to come. And the question will remain, do you have enough oil in your lamp? Is your lamp out? And I wanted to show you one that was an older one because I think it will tell the story better. You know, a lamp, you know, one that you have to put oil in. You know, the one that you have to turn there's a wick on it to trim it and all of that. It's up there. Okay, I'm just going to believe it's up there because I'm going to just go with what I have up here. And Brother Brad is going to work with me today. And the Holy Spirit is going to roll this thing out like he always. He always delivers. And so is the lamp. And this is an old one now. And so the question is, you really can't see the oil, but there is oil in the lamp. All right? So it's at the very bottom of it, there's oil in it. And then, you know, you just turn that little switch on the side, and you can turn it up and down, you know. And you got to be careful, because if you turn it too low, according to my husband, who is an electrician, he said, if you turn it too low and it's too long, it'll go out. So we have to be very careful what's in our oil, what's in our lamp. And I had to put up one that had a torch, because in the old days they had torches. And that was their way of seeing. Can I, you know, if I can just, I'll have this torch and that lights the way. And whatever one they had in the scripture, Jesus is telling the story. And he's telling the story really about himself. But he's actually almost removing himself out of the story to tell you a story, to give you a picture of him. And so here is the story. We have five wise virgins. And we have five foolish virgins. Now, you got to understand, in biblical times, at a wedding feast, the bridegroom comes, then the bride and all of them, and then they go, the bridegroom comes, and they have the marriage ceremony at the bride's house. And then they have a procession dancing and moving and having a good time, going to the groom's house to have the what we would call the wedding reception. And that would last for 7 long days. Having a good time, fellowshipping, dancing, and just celebrating. I'm married now. I've crossed over from the single life into the married life. So this is what traditionally happens. And so Jesus is saying, I got 10 bridesmaids who are supposed to be a part of this party, right? And something happened along the way. And what happened first was the lamp, according to the scripture in verse 3, 5 were foolish, 5 were wise. Now the 5 who was wise had their lamp with some extra oil. The 5 who was foolish had their lamp, had some oil in it, but didn't have any extra. And so what happened was the bridegroom didn't come immediately. So it was like in the middle of the reception, you're waiting to get in, but you can't get in because the bridegroom isn't there. So you got to wait. And while they were waiting, 10 of them got sleepy. It wasn't just the 5 foolish. All of them fell asleep in the waiting period. We're in the waiting period now. And some of us have fallen asleep and have not made it into the kingdom. As long as we're living, there is work to be done. As long as we're living, there's work. And so during the delay, one prepared, which was the wise, and one was unprepared. And so when they fell asleep, what they did with their lamps, they turned it down a little bit. So they had some oil. All of them had some oil when they went to sleep. But in the process of time, life happened while you are sleeping. And in the process of time, something happened at midnight. I can actually just park here. At midnight, something happened. And there was a great cry. Oh, you know, midnight can happen at 1 o'clock in the morning. Midnight can happen at 9 o'clock in the morning. Midnight can happen at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But all my sisters and my brothers, when midnight comes, you are going to cry out, God, help me. At midnight. It was at midnight. I was sitting at my desk. And it was midnight. I got a phone call and says, something tragedy had happened. And it shook me. I dropped and said, God, not my sister, not my brother. No, God, no. The wind went out of me. Oh, but I turned. And I'm telling you, he worked that thing out. I cried all night long. My husband tried to comfort me. My brothers called me and tried to comfort me. I said, there is no words to comfort me. I must tell Jesus. I said, Jesus, this is the one I love. You got to understand how Mary and Martha felt. The one I love is hurting. The one I love is in darkness, and there is no light in the room. And Jesus, I just wonder if you can do this one for me. Oh, I cried out. I cried. I talked to him all night long. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, go with it. I'm 8 hours away, Jesus. If I get there, it's still going to be too late. But God, if I send you, I know you'll work it out. And he whispered to me, you ain't got to send me. He said, I'm already there. He said, because if I wasn't there, mercy, 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 you will be at a funeral. But I'm already there. He said, I just want you to know, God said, I'm already there. I said, God, could you talk? Just speak a word. Just speak a word or say something. So I'll know that all is well. He said, no, my daughter. I'm going to speak. But you won't hear it until after she hears it. So I waited in my midnight. Listen, people, listen. Midnight is coming. And it's going to wake you up. Because it's not going to be somebody you don't care about. It's going to be dear and near to you. And how are you going to cry out? Christ is coming. Christ is coming. That's what they were saying. Christ is coming. And all 10 of them, according to the scriptures, got up. 10 got up. 5 rose up and had something extra. 5 rose up and had nothing. And they said, can you help us? My lamp has gone out. I had some oil when I went to sleep, but there is no oil left. And I'm just asking, it's 5 of you. Who among the 5 will help me? I just need a little bit of oil so I can make it to the wedding feast. Because I heard that the bridegroom is here. And they responded, we don't have enough. We just have enough for ourselves. I mean, if I had enough, I would help you. But I don't have enough to help you. But if you go yonder, you can get some oil. Now, while you're going, I don't know if you're going to get in. Because the door is open now. See, the problem is, you're going to get oil. And he said, when trouble comes, things, you got to have some oil. You can't go get oil. You know, you can't go get oil. Because when midnight comes, you can only talk about the situation a few minutes and somebody else going to get weary and say, honey, trust God. This one said, trust God. My brother said, trust God. My sister said, trust God. My husband said, trust God. And I turn and say, God, they don't understand. It's the one I love. Help me. And he said, I'll be up all night with you. All night long. All night long. All night long. Jesus held me. Jesus worked that thing out. Jesus did it. So do you have enough oil? Do you have enough? Not for somebody else. You know, even on the airplane, they tell you before you try to save somebody else, put your own mask on and save yourself first. Then try to help somebody else. Do you have enough to help yourself? Is there enough word in you to help? Others can pray. Others can intercede. And they did. But I needed to hear a word from my master. Savior, King of kings, Lord of lords. I said, Lord, I walked with you. Lord, you know I have sacrificed to live a life that you will be pleased with. And I turned like Hezekiah turned and said, hear my cry, Lord. I've been faithful to you. And I'm not asking it for me. I'm asking it for the one I love. Can you do it? He said, it's already done. But it's not going to be done the way you want it to be done. I need you to stand down, soldier. I need you to stand down, soldier. I need you to stand down, soldier, because I'm going to work this thing so that nobody gets the credit but me. So, wow. I got a phone call, and it was the one I love. And I said, I'm so proud of you. I just love you so much. Was I there? Was I not there when you needed me? Is there anything that I could have done to help you? She said it was not about you. This one, she said, was about me. She said, this one was about the pain that I was experiencing. This one was about feeling rejected and confused. This one, she said, it was all about me. In fact, I'm not even concerned about how the family is responding. I'm just trying to get well, and I'm sick. And I said, Jesus will help you. Jesus will help you. And you got to remember, sometime when folks going through, it's not about you. Everything is not about you. Everything is not about you. It is about Jesus working things out for each of us. He's working some stuff out, but you got to go through some stuff. So they rose up. I got to go back to the scripture for a second. They rose up, trimmed their lamps, and I'm at verse 8. Really, verse 10. They went and bought the lamp. They went and bought their oil, and while they were gone, the door was open. The bridegroom let those who had the oil come in because they could see. And then what happened is that the door was locked. And no one else could get in. And so when the others got back, they got the oil, they made it back, they knocked on the door, but the bridegroom said, I don't know you. Who are you? And I cannot open the door. What a tragic. What a tragedy. To have walked and been in church all your life. I was born in First Baptist. I got baptized in First Baptist. I did this and I did that. God said, I don't even know your name. Who are you? Who are you? I don't even know who are you? I know you. Because we just talked. But I don't know. I don't know you. And I can't let you in. It's going to be a sad day when we all get to heaven. Everybody ain't going to heaven. I don't know why we keep saying, when we all, the saints, get together, what a day of rejoicing it's going to be. When we all get to heaven, they'll be singing and shouting and dancing. There will be a feast, but there's going to be some crying outside because somebody ain't going to make it in. And they all not going to be on the street. They're going to be folks who read in the church. He said, because your oil is out. But I got good news. I'm going to show you how to fill up today. I'm going to show you how to fill up today. I got good news. Jesus is saying, I can open the door to your hearts now. Now is the day. Now is the time to hear my voice. Do you believe him? Do you believe he can do it? And so, I'm almost finished, Brother Brad. Christ the bridegroom. He's coming back. And Christ is coming back for his bride. All of us going to be single. I just want you all to know that everybody's going to be single. Everybody's going to get married. Everybody's going to get married. There's going to be a great wedding feast. Everybody won't be invited to the banquet. You know how we call the reception? Everybody won't be invited. You know how you have a wedding? and you don't invite everybody. And somebody always remind you that you didn't invite me to your wedding. And I say, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, but I got good news. The one at the wedding of the century, the wedding of a lifetime, is going to be with Christ. And he said, ask them, will you be ready to meet your God? There will be no excuses. Well, Bob did this, and if my husband didn't do that, you know, these kids got on my nerves, and you know, this happened, and you know, he's going to silence the voices. And he said, you don't even have to give any excuse. I don't even know you. We can get all that conversation. I don't even know you. I'm seeking the kids I know. You must get not only acquainted, but intimately knowing God. And during your delay, you gotta do more than come out to church. You gotta let the church get inside of you. You have to let God come inside of you. You got to let the word of God come alive. I mean, it has to come alive in you so that Brother Lucky, you don't have to make me lift my hands. When I thought of how he worked that thing out, something got a hold of my feet. Something got a hold of my hand. I wanted to shout. I wanted to run and say, Jesus did it. No one else. No one else could do it. But he did it for me. And yet doing it. You understand? Yet doing it. There's a light. And this is the one we have. Light in the ceiling. You ain't got to do all that putting all in, and you just flip and it's on. But if the wires get crossed, it won't come on either. And some of you, your wires are crossed. How is it getting crossed? With your nasty, stink attitude, with your doubting and unbelieving, with your mean, hateful self. God said, I see you when you're not in church. I want you to understand, God sees us when we're not here. And he said, tell them I got the light on. And I can see even in the dark. But the question is, he said, tell them they can't see in the dark. His eyes penetrates the darkness. Even when you're doing something in the dark, he sees it. He said, but I want to bring you into the light. So how do I turn and fill my lamp with oil? Psalms 119 and 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. I don't know what to do, God. Oh, but my eyes are on you. Jehoshaphat said, God, I got an army coming against me, and they're mighty. And he said, I don't know what to do, but I got good news. He said, my eyes are on you. Bring out the dancers. Bring out the praises. He said, bring them out. Bring the priests out. He said, this fight, you don't have to fight. Just stand still and see the salvation of God. He said, I'm going to break down the wall. I'm going to do it for you. Just, if you can just stand still and believe, God's going to do it. God's going to do it. I don't know when he's going to do it, but he's going to do it. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's going to do it. God said he's going to do it. I don't care what the doctors say. I don't care what this one say or that one say. God said he's going to do it. God said he's going to do it. God said he's going to do it. And I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. I don't care what you say. You can say whatever. I bind that negative spirit. I speak life. You shall live and not die. Speak life. Speak life. Oh, I'm going to live. I'm going to get through this. And I'm going to come out on the other side saying, look what God has done. Couldn't have made it without him. Don't know how, but he did it. That was my song when tragedy struck in December. I didn't want a Christmas present. I said, I just want the one I love to be well again.
And everybody said, what do you want for Christmas? No gifts this year. I said, God, I want the gift of healing. If you heal her, I said, if you heal her, that'll be enough. That'll be enough for me. I don't need to even ask you for anything. If you can just heal her, if you can just deliver her, if you can get her up again, if she can smile again, if she's up again, she's smiling again. And she said, is there a word from the Lord? I said, hey. Oh, yeah, there is a word. Oh, yeah, there is a word. Send me a word. Can you believe it? She said, send me a word. I said, there is. Oh, I got a word for you. Jesus loves even you. You don't beat someone when they're already down. I mean, a person who's already down, you just want to say, you know what? The power of God can lift you up again. Oh, you can stand again. Oh, you can smile again. And God's got to work for you. Oh, you think it's me. But God's got to work for you. While she was there, someone told her about how God had a word and she's going to be speaking thus and thus and thus. And she said, oh, my God, that's what my sister said. And I wanted to say, I've been saying it for how many years? I said, but it's okay. I don't care now. I just want her to be healed, delivered, and set free. See, sometimes we get caught up where I didn't. No, 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 it's not about me. Healing came to the house. And I take it any way it comes. You got to be able to willing to take how Jesus want to give it to you. That word. That word. He said, for by your word, I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path. Thy word. Thy word. Thy word. Got through one and I called my other nephew. I was excited. It's Friday. All is well. And I heard his voice. He said, it's not good news today. I don't think I'm going to make it. They said, I got 6 months. I said, but there is a God. He's got the final say so. Oh, I know God can do this thing. See, I just went through something in December. So, I was riding on some stuff. I said, oh, I know he can do it. And he said, I just got one thing to ask of you. He said, Auntie, I said, yeah. He said, could you send me a word just to get me through? And I said, oh, yeah, I can send you a word. And he said, do you know what he was asking? It was that, yea, though the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I said, I got it, God. He said, I need light because it's dark. They're bringing in hospice. They're bringing this in. I said, I don't care what they bring in. I'm still expecting a miracle. I said, but you got to turn your face to the wall and cry out to God, because God is the only one that can change the diagnosis. God is the only one that can turn it around. And I believe another miracle is about to happen. See, you talk this stuff, but when you got to walk it out, ooh, saints, I'm telling you, you got to walk it out. Well, you got to walk it out. I heard the fear in his voice. He said, don't tell your sister, which is his mother, my sister. Don't tell her. I'll tell her. I said, cool. I'm good. When are you going to do it? This Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I know he's like, give me a moment. You give me a moment. Got to get myself together. Sometimes we got to give people a moment. Because it's a tough thing to hear news like that. Give me a moment and I'll tell my own mother. I said, well, I'll just stand in the gap. I'll stand down. But I still can send a word. I still can send a word. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. I like this one, and I'm going to end with it. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Isaiah 60:1. Rise, arise. The Spirit says arise. I remember that word 20 years ago. He said, arise. Get up. Out of your pity party. Get up. Even the wise and foolish did that when they heard the call. At least all 10 of them realized that they need to arise. He said, arise. Get up. Stop murmuring. Stop complaining. Why me? Why me? Well, he said, why not you? You've enjoyed the blessing all these years. Now you got to endure some affliction. You got to endure some hardship like a good soldier. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I fought a good fight. Are you fighting a good fight? And if you don't have enough oil, you cannot fight and win. It's about winning. We've already won the big fight. He said, I just want you to help. I want to help you win your daily fight against an enemy that has come to kill, to steal, and destroy. And so I ask you again, the light. It's a bright light. And he just want to show you how to get out of darkness. Really, really, out of darkness into the light. Because I'm telling you, you're concerned about Trunk. He's our least concern. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. And he doesn't care who's in the White House or who's the queen or whatever. Jesus is on his way back. And he's asking the question, is there enough oil in your lamp when darkness and trouble hits your door? And he said, if it's not, fill up today. Fill your tank up like you go to the gas station. I was on E. And I told my husband, I need you to fill up my car. Fill it up. Otherwise, you're going to be sitting on the side of the road, right? Out of gas. But fill your spiritual tank up. Don't worry about Bill. Don't worry about John. Don't worry about Susie and Sally. I'm just saying those names because those, you know, southern names that we always have. Don't worry about any of those. When you stand before God, he's going to say, Cynthia, why didn't you do it? Why didn't you tell the truth? Why didn't you just stand up on February 26th or 27th and just tell the people what thus said the Lord? I don't care if they reject it or receive it. I needed you to just speak the word. He said, because I promise you, my word will not return unto me void. In the beginning, God said, let there be light, and there was light. That, do you understand? God spoke light into existence. He spoke light into existence. And he said, if I can speak light into existence in a dark, vast world where nothing existed, surely I can speak darkness. Where there's darkness in your life, I can speak light. He said, I come to speak light. Zion is calling you. I want you to sing that one. Zion is calling us to a higher place. Will you come up higher with me? I'm not asking you to do something that God has not asked of me. He said, I'm calling you higher. You got to do more. You got to reach out more. You got to help more. You got to find your place and be found working in the vineyard. May he find me in my place when my king shall come for me. When he comes, are you going to be in your place? Your right place. No one else can do what God has called you to do. Now, if you forfeit, he'll find somebody else. but he designed it for you. Do your part. Stay in your lane and work it. And see the souls come into First Baptist. The pews will be filled. If all of us decide today to let our light shine, people are crying out because there is no hope. But we got to tell them, I got good news. There is hope. Jesus is still on the throne. And the light is on. And you decide if it stays or if it goes out. But if it goes out, hear me today, the blood will be on you and not on me. Because God said, I will hold you accountable for the word that I am delivering today. Get your house in order. Set your affairs in line. Stop pettiness. Stop backbiting. Start fighting. Line it up so that the world can see that we have light. There's too much darkness in the church. That's why they're not coming in. They said, if you would just shine a little light, folks will come in. So God, I ask God to examine me. You know, Sister Fisher, I said, Lord, maybe I repent. I need to let my light shine a little brighter. Now that's just me. Now you got to go and do your own examination with your doctor, Jesus. And I promise you, it won't go out. Come what may, it won't go out. Jesus is the light of the world.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.